Y'all ready for this?
She was beautiful. She was young. She was innocent. She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had, and I've had them all over the world.
You're hot. Very hot.
Well, I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me.
It's time for the coolest segment on the internet. Turned On with Tina Peake from Crusher Magazine.
Y'all ready for this?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Hello, my fellow rockers, and welcome to this week's segment. Tonight, my special guest is Matt McLaughlin of the band Age of Daze. And for those not in the know, Daze is spelled D-A-Z-E. But the one thing this band is not is in a daze. These melodic, heavy rockers totally have their shit together, musically, lyrically, and with their live performances. Seeing them perform for the first time a few weeks ago, I was surprised by how tight these guys are, how lyrically strong they are, with catchy riffs and incredible vocals, and a crazy drummer hell-bent for leather to boot. If you don't know who they are yet, trust me, you will. And the fans, who were many, ate up their pure rock performance. So I'm very stoked to have them on my segment this week. Their album, titled Hollywood Ending, has been receiving rave reviews from coast to coast, competing on Sirius Octane's top 20 rock charts with the likes of Three Doors Down, Puddle of Mud, Seether, and Chevelle for most played and most requested song. Quite a feat for an indie band hailing from small town New Brunswick, Canada. After the interview, I will be featuring their latest single, titled Overrated, which is already climbing the charts on radio stations across North America. Go check them out via their MySpace site at www.myspace.com/Age of Daze and find out what thousands of fans already know, that this band is making a statement with their incredible music, a hard rock work ethic, and a kick-ass live show. So without further ado, here is my interview with Matt McLaughlin of Age of Daze.
So, first of all, hi Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good stuff, thanks for joining me. I've got a few questions and a few comments to make. I wanted to talk to you about winning Best New Rock Group at the Canadian Radio Music Awards just this past December. How did that come about? How were you chosen and what were the requirements for that award?
Well, basically that award, the five nominees in our category is basically based off the new artists and the total number of actual recorded spins of a particular song, in our case, a song Afflicted, at radio across Canada. So it's all compiled through BDS, which is one of the major, you know, tracking companies that looks after radio spins and stuff. So the nominations were based on that, and then the voting itself was actually members of the Canadian Association of Broadcasters, so it's actual on-air personalities and programmers and industry people within radio in Canada. So we were pleasantly surprised to win. It was really cool to get a chance to play the award show and to win. And it's another accomplishment for us. This gives us a little more credibility and a little more notoriety within the industry, which is really important. So we were super happy.
I bet you were. And then on top of all that, in March during Canadian Music Week, you also won an award for Best New Rock Group of the Year.
Yeah, it was really fun. Like I said, the awards show, the cliche is that it's an honor being nominated or whatever, which is true, but it actually, winning is better than losing. We've only been nominated for a few things, I think maybe three awards in total the last year or two, so to win that one was really, really cool, and like I said, we just look at it, isn't going to make or break our career, but it sure doesn't hurt, that's for sure, so it's all good.
It's nice to be nominated all the same.
Absolutely. I mean, just to get recognition, from your peers, to people within working in the actual, especially like an award like the CRMA award, it's industry people and it's people that can really make a difference to your career. And, ultimately the fans are the most important thing, but it's when you have people like that see your potential and believe in you and it just helps you get to where you want to go all that much, quicker. And so, yeah, we're really stoked. So it was awesome.
Good. Is it true that all the band members hail from the East Coast in New Brunswick, Canada?
Absolutely, yeah. We're all from Well, from New Brunswick, which is a province right on, you know, like I said, on the East Coast of Canada, pretty small, but like the whole province, maybe 750,000 people. And we're all from basically, you know, within a couple hours of one another, but we all live in a city called Fredericton, which is a, you know, it's a small, capital city, but it's like 50,000 people, so we're all local guys, so it's kind of funny, like me and myself and Pat, who's our drummer, we've known each other for quite a while, but the other guys in the band, I never would have met if it wasn't for, you know, music, so it's kind of cool, we've all become really good friends in the meantime, so, but it's, yeah, so it took a little while, you know, as a musician, you try to find people that kind of believe in the same things that you do and have the same goals, and so when Tim and I met for the first time, and Jamie came on board pretty soon after that, it just seemed like there was a real chemistry there amongst us, and, you know, Johnny and Pat came on board, and it seems like we've got the right guys, and we're all local guys, so it's kind of cool, we feel like we're a bit of the underdogs coming from way out in the East Coast, but it's kind of cool, so we're happy, you know, glad that, you know, we like being from here. It's a tough place to be as a musician. It's a great place to live. But, you know, we've just worked really hard to try to get ourselves known all over the place. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, being from the East Coast, there's a stigma associated with the kind of music that comes from the East Coast. But your music is total straight-ahead rock, kick-ass rock music. Can you describe your music to our listeners and maybe talk about your band? Tell our listeners about your band and what you're all about.
Yeah, well, like I said, we're a rock band, and it's funny because we always use the term that we're a rock band with no other adjectives required. You know, when we got real serious about this about 4 years ago, and like I said, we live in a small town. There's not a big music scene per se, so we basically were just kind of left to develop the sound that we liked, as opposed to trying to fit into a certain scene associated with a certain city or whatever. Like for instance, on the East Coast, there's a music scene that revolves around Halifax, and there's a certain sound that I can hear there, and we're not really like that, obviously. And I think part of the reason is that we did our own thing, sort of in a bit of isolation, really. And basically, we're just a product of our influences. You know, we're fans of rock and roll. Not a negative thing, because it means people dig it. So, I mean, we're just fans of rock and roll, too. So, that would be a great song that will maybe, you know, appeal to a lot of people, hopefully. You know, it's not really strange that would happen. So, but, you know, we're a straight-up rock band. I don't feel like we need any other adjectives. We don't sound like AC/DC, but I use them as an example. They're a rock band. They don't try to fit into a particular trend. They never have, and look at, you know, they've been so successful for such a long time. So that's kind of the same philosophy that we're trying to adopt too. Just do our own thing, write songs that we like, and hopefully people dig it, and don't worry about what's trendy, you know, or what the next big thing's going to be.
So who are some of the band's influences?
Well, myself, I was a big fan of you know, a lot of 90s type bands like Collective Soul, Pearl Jam. You know, I love, to me, I'm a big fan of Collective Soul. Ed Roland's probably, I think, one of the best rock type songwriters that, you know, that's ever hit down the pipe, so to speak. So, but all of our influences are a little bit different. Johnny's one of our guitar players. He's a big fan of the Allman Brothers. Our drummer his musical taste is all over the map. But, you know, Tim and myself and Jamie are pretty much rock guys. I know Jamie's he's our guitar player. He's a big fan of, you know, the old Ozzy stuff and Zakk Wylde and Randy Rhoads. You can kind of hear that in his playing too. I'm a fan of a lot of current bands. I love Hinder and 3 Days Grace and any rock band that has good, can write good tunes with good hooks, but still, you know, rock out hard. I'm kind of digging that stuff. So that's kind of where I think our music lies in that same genre too. So we're fans of the style of music that we play. So I think that sort of helps you come across with more integrity for sure. So
yeah, I got to be honest. I hear a little bit of 3 Days Grace and a little bit of Hinder type style in your music. Not saying that your music sounds like theirs, but if I was to peg you in a similar style, I would say 3 Days Grace, Hinder, definitely.
I think that is a compliment because I like both those bands. And they're different, but I like they're from one another. But they both, what they have in common is they both bands have really good material, really good songs. Ultimately, that's what their success has been built on, is the songwriting. So I think that's a compliment. So thank you.
You're welcome. Who writes most of the lyrics? We're talking about lyrics and strong lyrical content. So who does most of the writing in the band?
Tim and I are the main writers in the band. Tim's our vocalist and plays rhythm guitars. Excuse me. So we write together. Sometimes he'll bring an idea that's pretty much complete, and I'll chip in my idea in terms of lyrics, or usually where we co-write tends to be in verse lyrics, it seems that way. But sometimes we'll write, you know, musically together, and Jamie writes a bit with us as well, but the majority of the stuff has been written by Tina and myself on this past album anyway, so yeah. So yeah. We both write lyrics and music, so it's just a lot of bouncing ideas back and forth until we figure out what really works, so.
Right, yeah, the lyrics are great. I love the album. It's certainly lyrically very strong and musically very tight. I think you guys have got a hit with this album. So I saw the band for the first time at the Sound Academy in Toronto, just at the end of Canadian Music Week, when when Age of Days opened for Buck Cherry and Papa Roach and Rev Theory, and you guys really did kick ass. What was that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. What was that experience like to open for those bands?
Again, to go back to saying that we're still fans of a lot of the bands that we're actually getting to play with now, which is cool. We actually got to play with Rev Theory a couple months earlier out in Edmonton, Alberta on New Year's Eve, so we met those guys and they were so nice and cool, and so we kind of get a chance to meet them before, so we got to see them again, which was great. And to me, I thought Papa Roach was probably one of the best rock bands I've ever seen in my life in terms of energy and performance and stuff. You got to see them soundcheck a bit when we were loading in, and when you look at a band like that, it's kind of inspiring to us. So we kind of felt like, wow, we really got to go out there and really deliver the goods tonight, because if we're gonna play this type of bill with these types of bands. So it was really fun. Toronto for us, we played a few times there, but been smaller club type shows, and I honestly feel like our band probably translates better on a bigger stage. So that show and the reaction we got from the crowd and everything was just really, really good. It was probably one of the best shows we've ever done. So it was an amazing night.
It was truly an amazing night. And from the very start when you guys came out to the very end of Buck Cherry, but I have to say, you and Rev Theory stuck out in my mind. I just interviewed Julian a few days ago, so they're on tonight.
Cool.
Yeah, they're...
The Canadian guy right there?
Yeah, he was Canadian, and I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're great guys, and great. Another band, like I said, has really, really good songs. Like, ultimately, that's what's going to make or break your band. They have some great material, and, like, super nice guys, and they rock, like, crazy. So, it's, very cool.
Yeah, they do. And Papa Roach, I've seen them a couple of times now. They never cease to amaze me. I mean, absolutely. But you guys kicked ass.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As soon as you opened the show, fans just kind of stopped whatever they were doing, and they were definitely paying attention. They were going crazy for the music, so I love seeing it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, we try to get people involved, whether they want to or not. We try to make them part of the show, so we don't take no for an answer in terms of audience participation. So it worked out well that night anyway, so it was awesome. So.
Yeah. So which bands would you want to open for in the future sometime?
Oh, you mentioned Hinder, which would be cool. I'd love to play with those guys, and that may, you never know, that may happen. We'll see, but like I said, AC/DC, like that would, to me, that would probably be the ultimate band to ever open for, rock band. So there's so many bands, like I said, I have a lot of respect for anybody out there doing it, because I know how hard it is to get to any sort of a level of when you see bands that are very successful, like Nickelback and 3 Days Grace and Breaking Benjamin, bands that really, can really pack people, sell a lot of tickets and stuff. What goes in to get to that point, so I have no brain of those guys, it's great.
So tell me about the song Overrated, which is the second single off the album Hollywood Ending, because I think that's what we'll be playing after our interview.
Actually, that was the last song that we wrote for the Hollywood Ending sessions, and actually it's the only song that we had co-writers with. We wrote a song, our producer was Mike, on this past album was Mike Turner from Music and LAP, so we wanted to write a song with Mike, and then his friend is Pete Lesperance, who's a guitar player in the band Harum Scarum, is from Toronto, an amazing player and writer and really good guy. So we got together at Pete's with the acoustics, and we sat down to write a song, and Pete had a little idea for a chorus, and then we just bashed away at the rest of the song, and in a couple hours we had Overrated, so we took it back and basically recorded it the next day, and just one of those things where it came together really quick. Sometimes songs, you have to really work at them, and sometimes they seem to come together pretty easily. Lyrically, it's kind of about the whole Hollywood, Hollywood fame gone awry and all the trials and tribulations and all that can come with that. And it's not about Britney Spears or Lindsay Lohan, but it's kind of based some of the, you know, the publicity that surrounds their lives, and I actually feel sorry for them in a lot of ways that they're under the microscope that they are. But the song's about, you know, how fame can be fleeting and stuff, and so yeah, it's our second single. It's probably the most straight-up rock tune on the album, and it's got a little bit of an old-school feel, so yeah, so this is our new single. We should have a video. It's actually just in the final stages of editing it right now, so that should be released in Canada within a couple weeks to Much Music, and we hope it gets some serious airplay, so that'd be great.
Cool. I was going to ask you about the video. Who produced it?
It was produced by Todd Hammacher at 235 Films, and we did our Afflicted video as well, and it's actually, a lot of it was shot in Los Angeles, and sort of the storyline part of it, and our portion of it was shot on the road on this last tour that we did, a couple smaller club shows, and then some of the footage even from Sound Academy show is probably going to find its way. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know what to, I know what the gist of it is, but I haven't really seen the final product, so I'm just pretty excited to see it, actually, more than anything, just to make sure I don't look bad or have bad hair or anything. That's my main concern, so, but it should be good, so we're excited to put it out.
Cool. I've heard Age of Days will also be playing the first ever Canadian Rock on the Range, being held in Winnipeg this year on June 27th. How stoked are you guys to have been invited to this? I mean, it's just going to be awesome.
Very stoked. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I don't know what the what they're expecting for a turnout, but it's at that Canadian Stadium, which is where the Winnipeg Blue Bombers play, so I suspect it could be a pretty large crowd, probably the biggest crowd show that we'll ever have played at that point, I'm sure. And the lineup's cool. It's, you know, Billy Talent and Rise Against and Shinedown and Theory, and I mean, just a lot of big bands, so to be asked to play that, to really, we're very honored to be on the bill, so I'm super excited about that. It should be fun.
I bet. So now that we're talking about that, let's talk about some more tour dates. I understand that there are dates for Canada, but there are also quite a few dates for the United States as well. Can you tell me about some of the cities the band is scheduled to play in, and are any of these festivals or headlining gigs?
Well, we're going to be, I can't, as far as specific goes, I know the time period. We do have, there's one festival that we're going to be playing in Rockford, Illinois, called the Wingding for one of the radio stations there, WXRX. That's also, Shinedown's the headliner of that show. Saliva's going to be on the bill. Ourselves, Hailstorm, 10 years. So that's coming up May the 24th. And we'll be on the road in the U.S. for, from about that point until the end of June. And I can't really say who we're going to be playing with yet because all the papers and stuff haven't been signed, but I don't even know the exact routing yet, but we'll be out for at least a month in the U.S., so I'm sure we'll cover a lot of ground there. And then we look to come back and play Rock on the Range in Winnipeg, and then we're going to be announcing another Canadian tour right after that. We're going to be opening for a pretty cool band, but again, I can't say until the paperwork is signed, but anyway, we're excited to say the least. But since, you know, it's taken us a long time to get down to the States, so there's a lot of people there that want to see us, so we're really, really excited to get there and hopefully win over some new fans and see some people that have been looking to see us for quite a while. So we're really excited about the summer. It should be a lot of fun.
Cool, yeah, the summer is the time to see concerts. So, Matt, where can people find the band? Where can people listen to some of your tunes? Give me the MySpace and websites if you've got them so we can get them on the air and people can try and find you that way.
Sure, yeah. Well, our website is www.ageofdaze, that's D-A-Z-E in Canada, or C-E in the U.S., and there's links there to our MySpace and our Facebook, and there's ways to interact with the band. We still check all that stuff ourselves, but we're very much involved with it as a band, so chances are if you get a message from us on our MySpace, it's from one of the guys in the band, so that's kind of cool. Like I said, our album is available right now in Canada. It's available in stores at HMV and Walmart and all the major locations. In the U.S., the album's available digitally on iTunes, and we hope to, when we get to the U.S., we hope to, you know, we'll be selling CDs and shows and stuff, obviously, but we hope to have a physical distribution deal or a record deal for this, you know, coming up in the next few months. So, but yeah, the best way to buy it in the U.S. is on iTunes, and in Canada you can buy it on iTunes as well, or you can pick it up at your local record store. So,
very cool. Matt, is there anything else that you want to add or any messages to your fans before we end the interview?
Well, I just want to say I look forward to seeing a lot of people this summer, and like I say, we're going to get a chance to play all across Canada and the U.S., and we're the type of band that we want to meet people, and we try to, after a set, always go to wherever the merch is and just hang out. You don't have to buy anything. We just want to talk to people and meet people, and we've met so many nice people. You know, this last little tour that we did of Canada, there's so many, the reactions are really good, and we met a lot of people that were very complimentary, and they took the time to tell us that, and it means a lot, and just can't wait to get out and rock this summer. It should be fun.
Very cool. Matt, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the album and the tour, and we'll be in touch for sure.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tina.
Okay, Matt. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Todd Kearns from the Sin City Sinners, and you're listening to Turned On with Tina on Good Time Metal Oldies.
Here's the latest kick-ass tune from Age of Days titled Overrated.